How about we cheer like it was the old school Warriors for Jesus? Come on, can we give the Lord a shout of praise? Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So good to see all of you here this morning. We're going to just get into the word. But before I do, I want to make a quick highlight one thing. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. Matthew 16, 13 through 20. That's going to be our passage for this morning. But I do want to highlight, Crystal talked about our Calibrate marriage or couples retreat. This has really been on my heart for quite some time, to do something to encourage our marriage couples. And we actually have a couple that I married almost 10 years ago. They used to be a part of this church, and the husband did, and he moved away, went to graduate school, found a lovely wife, and they got married. They have three children, one in college, two that are under the age of six, and they are serving the Lord and ministering to couples. So they've been doing this Calibrate marriage retreat on the East Coast in New Jersey for the last 6 years, and couples are coming back restored and refreshed. And we call it Calibrate because it's like a check-in. You don't have to have nothing wrong to go. You can have wrong stuff. You don't have to have anything wrong. You just want to come together, and calibration means we're putting everything back in order. And they're coming to help us, those of you who are married. And I said, you know what, I ain't been married in a long time. So I felt like there are some things that I've kind of gotten out of touch with when it comes to being married. But those of you who are married or engaged or seriously considering marriage, this retreat is for you, because they can come and talk to you about what it's like. They both, he's an engineer, she's in finance. They're both working full-time jobs, taking care of children. They understand the struggle. And so I wanted someone who understood that to come and talk to you guys. And so I encourage you. The slots are very limited. We haven't even released this. I sent out an email to all of our married couples, but we haven't even really released this yet, because we want to make sure that the people of Rohi get involved first. He's getting ready to release it to all of his friends on the West Coast who've been waiting for this. If you don't sign up in the next couple weeks and you keep saying, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'm telling you, you won't have a spot. Because we're only taking 15 couples, and four of those slots are already gone. There's only 11 spots remaining, and we haven't even opened it up. So please don't delay in doing that, because I'd hate to see that something that we're doing as a church for the people of this church, they don't get blessed because they didn't take the time to sign up early. Okay? So make sure you sign up, and if you need to know how to find it, just go to our website. It's under events, or it's rohichurch.org/couplesretreat, all one word, and you'll get the link for it. All right, y'all ready for the word? All right, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. We are in a series called Simple Theology. And what we're doing in this simple is trying to break the hard, complicated things about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and salvation down for us so that we can understand what that means for us today. Theology can be such a complicated word. And as I shared last week, there are books and books and books, volumes and volumes and volumes written on theology. Theology is theo, meaning God, ology, meaning the study of. It is the study of God. And last week, we talked about who is God. And I want to share that by no means am I giving you an exhaustive measure of what it means to say who is God, who is Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to do is highlight some things to make it simple so that we as Christians understand what we believe about Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting because it sounds so simple to say who is God, and some of us got a few words. Well, last week, you know, because it's such an exhaustive measure, I tried to sum it up by saying he is omnipotent, meaning he is all-powerful. He is omniscient, meaning he's all-knowing. He is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere. And if that ain't enough for you, he is Yahweh, which means he just I am. I know that's awful English. He just I am. He is just I am. Whatever you need to fill in, he is. And so we started talking about who God was last week. And this week we're going to move into Christology. Christology. Christology, breaking the words up, take a guess. Christ being Christ, and ology being the study of. We're going to be talking about who is Jesus. So the subject of my message today is who is Jesus. And some of y'all are like, I already know who Jesus is. Maybe you do, but maybe in your situation you forgot who Jesus is. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. All right, so let's get to the word, and then I'll start breaking some stuff down, because I don't want to jump in the message too fast without setting you up right. You don't even have to stand, but if you would, do me a favor. Lift your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air. Let's say our Bible affirmation together, because we like to open our hearts to let God speak to us, and we like to declare it so we're ready for the word. Y'all ready? Let's say it. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20. Quite a few verses today, but you'll be all right. You know what? Let's just go 13 through 17. I ain't even going to mess with you. No, let's go through 20. I'm messing with you. Let's go through 20. Some of y'all, you know, this is your weekly Bible reading right here. But not all. That's not how we are, right? Because we read our Bibles how often in this church? All right. Just making sure. If you're not up to every day, that's all right. We'll help you get up there. All right, here we go. Matthew 16, verse 13. Let's read together. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words are on the screen. But for the sake of us reading together, let's all read from one version. Ready? When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." That's good enough. Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you, Father God, that we have an opportunity to understand more about who is this Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that there is a breakthrough, there is a release locked up in our understanding of who Jesus is. And I declare in this place that there's going to be a binding and a loosening of things just simply because we understand who Jesus Christ is. Father, have your way in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen, amen. I was going to wait. I'm going to jump to the end of the message because I got so excited reading the scripture that I didn't want to jump too far. Why am I talking about who is Jesus? Can you put up verse 19? I want you to understand that a lot of people take this passage out of context. They start talking about you got keys to the kingdom of the heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, whatever you bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And people get excited about, but they don't understand that Jesus spoke this in the context of an understanding of who he is. He said, "You don't get the keys till you know who I am. You can't unlock stuff till you understand who I am." And so you might be wondering, Pastor, why are you taking the time? I mean, this seems so simple. We know Jesus is the Son of God, died on the cross. We get all that. Some of us do. Why are you taking the time? Because if you don't truly understand this, there are going to be some things that the enemy is going to keep messing with you on that you were never supposed to be struggling with, because you've got keys once you understand who Jesus is, and you can start binding some stuff, and you can start loosing some stuff, and you can start having some things and releasing some things. I think some of us are stressed out because we don't really know who Jesus is. Yes, I came to the altar. I said a prayer. I get, yes, Jesus is the Lord of my life, but I'm not living it out in such a way that Jesus truly is Lord and I understand the power and the authority that has been released to me. So today I'm coming to mess all of your theology up about who is Jesus, so you can start understanding not only who he is, but who you are because of who he is. So I had to give you the end, because if I took you on the journey, you'd been like, "Ah, it's boring." So Jesus starts out as they're walking, and he asks this question. And it is a powerful question. He says, you know, who do men say that I am? Who do people say? What people saying about me? And I think it's a powerful question because, you know, who people say you are is different based on the people you ask. You asked the man this morning when I was driving and I got a little mad. Who am I? Anybody say she is an angry, you know what? You ask the people in the church, she's a lovely woman. Think about it. Who do you think Martha Stewart is? When you think about her, do you even buy her products anymore? Who do you say she is? Is she a crook? A liar who got caught in insider trading, a former jailmate? Or is she Snoop's friend? Y'all don't know, apparently she likes to get high with Snoop. Or is she a wonderful lady with great homemaking ideas who involved in a little bit of a misunderstanding? Who do you think Pete Rose is? Y'all, do y'all know who he is? Because I'm a baseball fan. I get to give you baseball a little bit. Do you think Pete Rose should be a Hall of Famer? Who do you say he is? Is he a no-good bum who knowingly bet on baseball and should be barred from the sport for life? Or is he sorry for what he's done and now fully deserves admission into the Hall of Fame? See, everybody seems to have their own opinion about these people. And different people believe different things about them. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion. While we're entitled to our own opinion, the fact remains they are opinions. Some opinions can be closer to the truth. Some can be completely false. Some can be a little bit of both, right? But opinions don't determine the objective reality of who a person is or what they may or may not have done. So Jesus starts out and he says, this is the first time we see a biblical opinion poll. You never see Jesus out taking a poll other than this moment. Jesus is like, you know, who do people say I am? And this is important because he wanted them to get that not everybody's going to see me the way you see me. Some of y'all are sitting there tripping out with your friends and mad because they can't believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's their opinion. It doesn't make it fact. Doesn't make it truth. It's their opinion. And everybody is entitled to have their opinion. Jesus got that. But Jesus said, it don't really matter what they say about me. I want you to understand that people have a different opinion of me, but the question is, who do you say I am? Who am I to you? That's what Jesus starts talking about. So today we're going to start answering this question, who is Jesus? Now, some say Jesus was a mythical figure. I'm going to tell you right now, he really wasn't. We have historical evidence to prove that Jesus actually existed. Josephus, who was one of the Jewish scholars and historians of the time, wrote about Jesus and his life. Jesus is an actual person. He literally lived and walked the earth. He is not a myth. He is not a legend. He is not a fictional hero. He is not a superhero. He really was a real person who lived in the first century during the New Testament times. And the New Testament contains the fullest, most reliable record of his life and ministry. We actually find throughout the New Testament several different accounts of people who could talk about this guy named Jesus. So interesting. So the same question Jesus posed to his disciple 2,000 years ago, Jesus is posing to us today. Who is he? Is he real? Do you say he's real? This is a question people have been baffled with for years. And it's kind of interesting because Jesus says, watch this. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So I'm going to give you a few things about who Jesus is. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot more. We can call him healer. We can call him my deliverer. We can call him my redeemer. We can call him my bright morning star. We can call him my savior. We can call him joy. We can call him protector. We can call him a whole lot of stuff. Ain't nobody got excited on a whole lot? Okay, I'm going to just break it down to the simple things about who is Jesus. Jesus says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Why did he use the term Son of Man? Let me tell you why. Because number one, you need to know Jesus was absolutely human. 100% complete human. He was not like some angel walking around floating everywhere. Jesus literally had to put one foot in front of the other and walk. It's amazing because when the Bible starts talking about him, they list his human characteristics. They talk about him because they said Jesus cried. He wept when his friend died. Jesus got tired just like everybody else. Do you know Jesus got tired? First of all, thank God Jesus got tired. Because when I get tired, I don't have to feel like something wrong with me. Jesus also got hungry and thirsty. Thank God Jesus got hungry, because I get hungry a lot. He was fully human. He was completely tempted. He had to travel from point to point. He didn't just, even though he might have walked on water, he still had to walk. He didn't teleport himself places. Now, I mean, it is a little weird that he's walking on water. I ain't gonna even lie. But he did have to transport himself. When he got pierced, he actually bled. Jesus is human. He understands your situation. He understands your need. Who do you say I am? Why do you need to know he's human? Because he gets what you're going through. He understands what it's like to have people talk about you. Look, come on. Everybody, the religious folks was talking about him all day, every day. He understands what it's like to have haters in his life. He had haters going for a long time. Do you not know he understands what it's like to be a child who doesn't have a father around? Because you know what? Even though Joseph wasn't his real father, the people of the town was like calling him all kinds of names. They was like, we remember how your mama got you. He know what that feels like. You know, Jesus know what it feels like not to have a girlfriend. All the single people. Jesus know what it's like to be around beautiful women and be tempted. Y'all ain't hearing me. Jesus understands your situation because he was fully human. This is why you've got to understand that he was not some God floating on air when he was here. He hurt just like you hurt. When Lazarus died, the Bible said he cried. He wept. He grieved just like you and I grieve when somebody is gone. Jesus was completely human. And because of that, he understands everything and every situation and every pain and every worry and every hurt that you have. Jesus was a carpenter. It wasn't like he was like a king wealthy on the earth. He knew what it was like to struggle financially too. Y'all missing this. Jesus was human. And it's important that we understand this, because if we forget this, we will feel like we are talking to a God who has no clue of what we're going through, who doesn't understand my situation. Jesus, you don't know what it's like. I mean, you could just snap your fingers and stuff get done. Jesus was like, yo, remember that water to wine thing? Yeah, I didn't really snap. They had to go get water too. They had to do something too. There's some, Jesus gets it. He was fully human. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 talks about some of the struggles Jesus had as a human. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the very form of God, meaning Jesus was God, we're going to talk about it in a minute, did not consider it robbery to be made equal with God. Verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation. Jesus knows what it's like to not be popular. Taking the form of a bondservant. Come on, how many of y'all feel like you a bondservant when you go to work every day? Like, these people get on my last nerves. Feel like I'm in prison. I feel like I'm a slave. Come on, some of y'all said, I remember telling my friend, we got to go to work. We got to go talk to Massa, because I felt like it was just a slave ship when I was up in there. Now, I understand it wasn't, but. And the Bible says, and coming in the likeness of men and being, verse 8, found in appearance as a man. He looked just like a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus had to die just like a man has to die. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name, because Jesus understood that. Watch this, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, because he was fully God, because he was fully man, and he understood what you're going through, and he died for you, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess, on earth, in heaven, and those under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He was flesh and bone human. He was born of a woman just like me and you. He had a mother who died eventually. He understood what it was like to be wrapped in flesh. Jesus was fully human. Here's point number two. Jesus was not only fully human, but Jesus was also fully God. And this is where we have a little bit of the contradiction and have a hard time trying to figure this out. How you going to be two things at once? How you going to be all human and all God? Think about this. How are you all a parent and all a spouse at the same time. You just are. Some of y'all are like, that's not equivalent. Yeah, it is. You can do two things at once. Jesus was fully human and fully God. The reason is because he had no natural man as his father, but his mother Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to get into that because it's November, and if I start talking about that, y'all will be like, oh, November's the month of Thanksgiving. It ain't about Christmas. Because if I talk about Jesus' birth right now, y'all will be like, that's the Christmas story. It's only November. So I'm not going to go into it. But Mary was not a hoe. I may have been one, but Mary wasn't. Mary got pregnant because the Holy Spirit came inside of her and placed Jesus inside of her. Jesus had no natural father. So his father was fully God, making him fully God, and his father was also fully human. His mother was human, making him also fully human. He's not 50% God. He's not 50% man. He's not hybrid. He's not mixed. This is not mixed-ish. But he did that so he could fully understand who we are. Though he was a flesh and blood human being, he did not cease to be Almighty God. Now, let me say this. Jesus had no button that he was switching back and forth. I'm going to be God in this moment. I'm going to be man in this moment. So everything you saw Jesus do on earth, watch this, he did as a human under the power of the Holy Spirit to show us, just like you are human, when the power of the Holy Spirit is on you, you can do everything that I've done. In fact, he said, you're going to do greater things than I did. So when you see Jesus healing folks, don't be looking there going like, ooh, that's some story in the Bible. No, 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 no. He demonstrated that and had the power of the Holy Spirit on him so that you too can demonstrate that and you can bring healing to other people. Y'all don't want to talk about that because that's too much. But the truth of the matter is, everything Jesus did while he walked on earth, because he was fully human and because he had the Holy Spirit, you can do as well. It was not because he was fully God. What was amazing about him being fully God is he didn't have to come like this. That's what's amazing. God, look, think about this. Jesus is like, I love them so much, I want to save them. I want to understand what they're going through. I have to become like them to die for their sins so that I can get. It's like, I use this illustration. Pastor Jerry tells us this. He says, if you have, how many of y'all got a pet you love, a dog or something, or a cat, something? I ain't got no animals except the two little people who live in my house. Those are my two animals. But if I had a pet or a dog, how many of you would just truly say, I would give up being a human. I would give up living and breathing as a human and walking and being able to reason, and I would become my dog because I love my dog so much. I would sniff butts. I would walk. I would scratch myself. I would breathe. I would let go of everything. Not just for one day, but I mean for the rest of eternity. Ain't nobody in here trying to do that. Watch this. And here's the analogy. Yet Jesus Christ, who was Almighty God, gave up his everything, his form of being God, to be human for us. And he didn't just do it for 33 years when he walked on the earth. He is still fully wrapped in human flesh today, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He did that because he's crazy about you. See, you got to understand, when I say who is Jesus to you, he is Almighty God who came to the earth to die for me so that I could have a relationship with God that I could have never had because I'm such a sinner. I was a sinner who was messed up, but I am saved by his grace. If it had not been for Jesus, who was Almighty God, who came to be fully human, where in the world would I ever be? Colossians 2:9 says, for in him, being Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We can talk about Jesus as a prophet. We can talk about him as a holy man. We can talk about him as a teacher. We can talk about him as a spiritual leader, and nobody's going to object. But the minute you start saying he was God, he was the Son of God, he was divine, he has the same nature as God, everybody get up in arms. Oh, no, 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 no. But isn't that what made him special? isn't the fact that he was fully human and fully God who died and rose again the difference maker? If you ask Muslim, they'll say he's a prophet. If you ask Jews, they'll never call him the Messiah if they're not born again Jews. They'll just say he was a good man and a good teacher. If you ask most folks in the world, I don't think people deny the fact that Jesus lives too much anymore. I think what people are denying is that he's the Son of God and that he really is fully God. And that is what makes us Christians. What makes us Christians is we believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins, and that he is fully God and fully man. So then Jesus comes and he says, but who do you say I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What's Christ mean? Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting on all these years to take care of. Since Eve and Adam messed it up in the garden, you who we've been waiting on. Can you imagine thousands of years of history, people been waiting for this guy to show up, and he shows up and nobody knows who he is? They call him a prophet. They call him a good teacher. He's like, nah, Peter, who do you say I am? Peter says, you the man. You're him. You're the one I've been looking for. Why is this important? Peter was saying, you're enough for me. You're everything. You are the one I put my hope in. You're the one I left my fishing business for. I left my job for you. I left my family for you. I've been following you. I've been doing it. See, this is why you got to know who do you say he is. If he is everything to you, are you willing to give everything for him? Are you willing to say, I'll die for you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll leave whatever you want me to leave. I'll go where you want me to go. Because if you really are the one I've been waiting for all my life, then when you say jump, I say, let's go. When you say move, I say, let's do it. When you say forgive, I forgive. When you say share, I share. Whatever you tell me to do, because I've been waiting on you. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are my everything. You are the one that I've been and all my hopes and all my dreams and all my desires on. Who do you say I am? See, the problem with us is Jesus is just a name to us. Jesus is not everything. If Jesus truly is Lord, that means he is the Christ. That means he is my master, my owner, my deliverer, my savior. He owns me. Whatever he wants from me, he can have, because I've been waiting all my life for somebody like him to come into my life and to save me and to set me free and to deliver me and to change me and to transform me and to make my life better. Why now, when I come to Jesus, do I forget who he really is? You can't forget who Jesus is in your life. See, when you're going through a situation, the enemy wants you to forget who Jesus is. Because when you forget who Jesus is, when the doctor tells you you got this pain or this sickness or this illness that we can't solve, you know, when you forget who Jesus is you start Googling, because you forgot who Jesus is. Because if I look it up on Google, maybe I can figure out what's going on. When you in your marriage and y'all cussing each other out, don't. I know you go to church, but I know you cut. That's why we're doing a marriage retreat. And y'all cussing each other out. And you like, I can't stand this. Blah, 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 blah. You fill in the blanks. If I use the initials, it'd be foul. But anyway, you forget who Jesus is. Because if Jesus really is Lord, Jesus is going to work this thing out. Jesus is working inside of my spouse just like he's working inside of me. When your kids go crazy and you're like, I'm done with them, and you blow up, you know that rant we go on, that never-ending rant when our kids do something stupid, and we go all the way back, mamas, to the 22 hours I was in labor with you. You know that rant. We do it because we forget who Jesus is. If Jesus is really in control, Jesus got this situation too. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and been called according to his purpose. See, in our day-to-day lives, the problem is we keep forgetting who Jesus is. When a bill comes and we don't know how we going to pay it because we don't have enough money and we struggling, and then you know what we do? We say, well, maybe if I go do this, maybe if I try this, maybe if I go work this out, you forget who Jesus is. Jesus is your provider. Jesus, the Bible says he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Look, there's nothing too hard for God. Why are you sitting there stressing? I ain't telling you not to do nothing. I'm telling you, don't forget who he is. Go to him. If he is my everything, then I go to him and I say, God, what you want me to do? Come to Jesus, hear his sayings, and do them. And the Bible says you'll be like a man sitting on solid foundations. What do you do? Who do you say he is when all hell is breaking loose in your life? Can you be like Peter and say he's the Christ? He's the one I've been waiting on. He's the one I've been looking for. Why? Why does Jesus say this? Why is this so important? What difference does it make? Why? Because verse 18, Jesus tells Peter, you've answered who you say I am. Matthew 16:18. You've answered who you say I am, but now let me tell you who you are. When you know who Jesus is, he'll start telling you who you really are. You're not weak. You're not incapable. You're not dumb. You know who you are, Peter? You are Peter. And the reason why this is so powerful is because that word, when they spoke a name, it was speaking a character about a person. They felt that the names had such power that those names brought almost a prophetic meaning to them. So he says, you are Peter, which means you are the rock. And on this rock, Peter, I'm going to build my church on top of you. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Who do you say I am? I say you're the Christ. You know what Jesus says? He says, I say you're an amazing mother. And on you, I'm going to raise up some children who are going to change the world. Who do you say I am? I say you're the Christ. You know who I say you are? I say you're an amazing spouse. And through you and your marriage, everything in your community and your family is going to be completely different. Who do you say I am? I say you are a child of the King, which means you got every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And so you are not lacking. You're not looking for stuff. You're not worried. You're not stressed out because everything that you need is found. See, when you know who he says you are, then it changes how you view your situation. I don't have to sit back and look at things and be like, oh, I'm so weak and I can never make it and I'm not good enough. And I don't, no. I'm a child of the King. I'm supposed to have some stuff. I'm supposed to be blessed. We talking Wednesday night in Bible study, and I don't have time to develop it, so I'm going to be careful how to say it, because if I say what I said in Wednesday night Bible study, some of y'all going to get a little messed with it. Y'all going to be like, that's theologically inaccurate, but I can prove it to you. When you come to Jesus and you say he is Lord, what you have done is you have just answered the question, who do you say I am? I say you are Lord who died on the cross for my sin. The Bible says when you do that, a transformation immediately happens inside of you. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And here's the catch. You get all the rights and privileges of God's select hand-picked people, just like the Jews. The Jews were his selected hand-picked people. You get all the rights and privileges, which means just because I accept Jesus as Lord of my life, now I have the blessings of God on my life. Now I have the favor of God. I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail. I'm supposed to be above and not beneath. I have healing. I have deliverance. I have breakthrough. I'm supposed to be blessed when I come in, blessed when I go. I'm supposed to be blessed everywhere I go. My children are supposed to be blessed. The enemy can rise up against me, but it's going to flee in 7 ways. There's a lot that comes when I come to Jesus. And it's locked up when I say he is Lord. Once I say who he is, he releases something inside of me automatically, and we don't realize how powerful we really is. All right, Ephesians 1 says you have been blessed in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. You got everything you need already when you come to Christ. But you got to start knowing who you are. Could it be you don't know who you are because you forget who he is? Who are you? Who do you say I am, Peter? I say you're the Christ. Jesus says, I say you are Peter. And then he speaks to your trouble that's going to come. Put that passage back up. Matthew 18 right there. He speaks to your future trouble. Because you're going to be like, yay, I'm a child of God. Yay, hallelujah. Ah, this rock God, he's going to build his church on me. Woohoo, woohoo. He said, hold up now, freeze. You need to know something. The gates of hell are going to come against you. Some of y'all are sitting there like, God is bringing all this bad stuff in my life. God ain't bringing no bad stuff in your life. The enemy is messing with you. It's so hard. God, I don't know why you're making life so hard. God's like, the gates of Hades are come. Didn't I tell you this? Stop blaming God for what the enemy's doing in your life. Now, let me flip this also. Some of y'all stop blaming the enemy for stuff you done did. Some of the problems you having because of consequences of your actions. I don't know why I'm in so much debt, God. I just feel like I can't get out of my financials. God's like, because you keep shopping online at Amazon and buying stuff and them boxes keep showing up. Don't be blaming that on God. That ain't God's fault. Your debt is your fault. Chill, bruh. Right? But there are some things. You're like, why is this sickness coming out? I don't know why. I've eaten well. I've exercised. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Why are they coming? The gates of hell are coming against you. Why is, I feel like my marriage is, you know, we were doing everything right. Why don't we like each other right now? The gates of hell are coming against you. My kids used to be nice. Then they hit 13. Gates of hell coming against you. Why am I struggling with folks on my job? Gates of hell coming against you. My neighbor, we were super cool, and now all of a sudden they trying to, you know, what is my neighbor? My neighbor, oh my God, they parking on my side of the road. They letting their trees fall. What is happening? Gates of hell, just stuff to mess with you. Some of y'all, I think bad hair days are gates of hell coming against you because you don't even know how to act on a bad hair day. Watch this. Gates of Hades will come against you. Don't trip out when bad stuff happens. Remember who you say he is. He is the Christ. He is the one. He is Lord. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. He is fully God, fully man. He's got everything. He's got all power, all control. He's everything I need when I need him. He is the great I am. Don't forget who he is. And then let him tell you, you are my child. Don't forget who you are. And then here's the catch. Not only will the gates of Hades come against you, but it shall not prevail against you. That means it will not win. It will not win. No matter what is happening, it will not win. It will not overtake you. It will not destroy you. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care. Look, let me tell you, I stand as a woman who has lost my mother, my father, my husband, and the gates of Hades was trying to take me out, but I stand stronger, wiser, better because of what's happening. It shall not prevail against me. No matter what darkness you have been through, nothing coming against you, no sickness, no illness, it shall not prevail against you. Do you know who he is? And then Jesus says, here's what I'm going to do for you. Verse 19. I'm going to give you something. It would be enough. I would be so okay if all we got was the understanding that he's the Christ and I'm his and that I'm going to win. I've been good. He's fully God. He's fully human. So because of that, he's the Christ. I can walk out. God, Jesus said, no, you can't leave yet because you need something else. You need some keys. You need some keys. You need some keys. What do keys do? Keys open stuff. And keys lock stuff. Jesus said, it's not enough that the gates are going to come against you and you're going to win. Here's what you're going to need when the enemy comes against you. You're going to need some keys. You're going to need to understand, what do keys represent? Authority. Okay, if you don't have keys to this building, you don't have authority to access this building. But if you got keys, you have the, look, let me tell you something. You come in and the alarm goes off. If you don't know the code and the police show up, which they ain't going to do in San Jose no more. But if they show up, the first thing they're going to talk to you, they're going to look and see if there was forcible entry. No signs of break in. You got keys. I don't care if the alarm's going off or not. You're supposed to be here. Y'all missing this. There are some things that you're supposed to have access to. And the enemy may sound the alarm. No, 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 you can't have healing. No, 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 you can't have a good marriage. No, 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 you can't break free of that. No, 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 no. But look, 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 ain't nothing they can do sounding the alarm as long as you got keys, because the keys say it belongs to me anyway. I don't care what you say. There was no forcible sign of entry. I unlocked this the way God told me to. I did what God said because I got keys. He says, whatever you bind, lock up on earth will be locked up in heaven. And whatever you loose, unlock on earth will be loosed, unlocked in heaven. Y'all got to catch this. Watch this. In the Greek, those words are so important. They say this. Dr. Kenneth West says this when he translates this in the Greek. He says, and whatever you bind on earth, that means whatever you forbid to be done, shall have already been done. Not shall be, but shall have already been. When you look at the Greek tense, it's already been done. Whatever you forbid to be done, what would I need to forbid to be done? I forbid my children to be molested. Come on. I forbid the spirit of drugs and alcohol to come upon my children. I forbid any robbers from coming into my house and taking stuff. You know the number of times I have walked out, left my garage wide open and the door fully accessed, and I live on a corner where anybody can just roll up into my house. You know how many times I've done, but I forbid anybody from walking into my house. Look, I don't even have to have the door locked. Now, you better lock your door. We still in San Jose. But I have gotten through so many times. How many of y'all have ever had that? And nothing has happened to your stuff. Why? Because I forbid you to come on this property. The corner, the boundary lines have been drawn. This is holy ground. Satan, you can't come on this. You can't mess with me. You can't have this. Come on. In our single women's group, we start talking about, why are we getting rejected? Why are people like ghosting us? Why are people doing it? You know, that's God said, because I'm forbidding people. You forbid negative, jacked up people from coming in your life. You know, their rejection is you just, look, that's my protection. That's all it is. That's just forbid. When you forbid stuff, I forbid sickness and disease to come on my life. Y'all not hearing me. You better start praying God, praying and praising God. You got to that can demand that nothing comes against you. And then he goes on to say, and whatever you loose on earth, that means whatever you permit to be done shall have already been loosed for you. Whatever you permit to be done. What do I permit to be done? I permit that I come out of financial trouble. So I'm releasing and permitting that God will bless me with the financial resources that I need. I permit that God's going to release an idea that's going to get me out. Come on, some of y'all looking for money. God is like, just loose an idea. If you loose an idea, I can get you out of your financial situation. I permit to be done. I release and I say, God, whatever you need to release to be done, there is no block that's hindering what you have. Why? Because I've opened the door for it to come. If I'm struggling and I need peace, I permit peace to come in my life. If I'm grieving and I need comfort, I permit comfort. If I'm stressed and worried, I permit peace in my life. What do you need to release? You got keys. Why? Because you understand who God is. He's told you who you are. You understand that there is not going to be anything the enemy's going to do against you, and God's already given you keys to start dealing with stuff. So what do I want you to do with this message? You better figure out who you say Jesus is. Because that's the root of this. If you know who he is, don't forget every day. Come on, stand to your feet. Who do you say I am? Who is Jesus to you? Is he the Christ, the Lord, the Messiah, your owner, master, controller, decision maker? Some of you, you've never made a decision to say that I believe he's my Messiah. I want you to notice I said my, because it's personal. It's not who do they say he is. I'm asking you, who do you say he is? Grab the hand of the person you're standing next to. If you're not standing next to somebody, go across the aisle and get them. At least make sure everybody's touching somebody's hand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, because I believe that we've got to answer a question. got to answer. You got to answer this question for yourself. If you've never asked Jesus, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life. If you've never said, I say you are my Savior. If you've never done that. And you recognize that you've been struggling with some things and trying to do some things on your own. Could it be because you haven't said he's your Christ? He's your everything? If you're here today and you want to say, yes, Jesus, I want to declare that you are the Christ for myself. Squeeze the hand of the person you're standing next to. Just squeeze their hand as a sign that I just need him so much. I want him. Then I have another call for those of you. Keep your head bowed and eyes closed. You're going through a situation. And you've forgotten who Jesus is. You've been focusing on the world. You've been looking at Google. The Bible says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these other things will come unto you. You've been trying to figure it out on your own. Enough's enough. This call is for you. You're ready to say, sorry, God. You are the Christ. Squeeze the hand of the person you're standing next to. That's me, God. Hey, if somebody squeezed your hand, would you just lift their hand in the air? I want to know who we're praying for. If somebody squeezed your hand, go ahead and lift their hands up. Thank you, Jesus. Now, do me a favor. If somebody squeezed your hand, could you do me a favor? I promise you, I will not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Can you walk them to the altar? If somebody squeezed your hand, just encourage them to come on. Don't let them come by themselves. Tell them, I got you. I'm coming. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Got some music for me back there. Thank you, Jesus. If somebody squeezed your hand, come on, come on, come on. All right, now here's what we're going to do. I want to know, first of all, if this is your first time, if somebody squeezed your hand because they're saying, hey, for the first time, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life, can you do me a favor and just stand behind them if that was somebody's prayer? That was their first time prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got two people right here. Thank you, Jesus. Come, y'all can say hallelujah. That's a good thing. Thank you, Lord. All right, so we're going to pray with them first, and then we're going to pray for everyone else. Is that okay? So could y'all do me a favor? You can let their hands go. If y'all would do me a favor, just as an act to say, I'm with you, I got your back, can you just extend your hand towards them? Hopefully they can feel the love of Jesus just flowing through right now. And then I'm going to ask everybody, I want you to repeat after me, because the Bible says you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. He asked Peter, and Peter said, you are the Christ. You have to say it with your mouth. And the Bible says, and believe in your heart, then you will be saved. I'm going to ask all of us to help them so they don't feel by themselves. You know, it's kind of hard being if you're the only ones up here. You don't want to be by yourself, do you? Okay, can you all repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the Christ. I say you are my Christ, my Savior. I declare that you died on the cross. Ooh, that you were buried and you rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sin. I thank you that just like that, your Holy Spirit has come to live inside of me, and I am a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. No matter what I see, all that matters is who you, God, say I am. And you say, right now, that I am your child. In Jesus' name. Come on and give the Lord a hand praise for them. Just like that. I'm going to ask the two of you to stick around for just a second. Afterwards, we want to make sure that you understand the decision that you've made. Now, if you're up here and somebody squeezed your hand because they're like, hey, I'm going through it and I've been forgetting that he's Lord, can you step behind them? If y'all squeeze each other's hand, just stay next to each other so we know who we're talking to. All right, perfect. All right, now can y'all one more time extend your hand? We're going to pray for them. Y'all ready? Y'all repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, my bad. I forgot who you were in this situation. Forgive me. Thank you, Lord, for this message in the middle of my situation that's reminding me that Jesus, you are the Christ. You are Lord. You are in control. You've got this. You are my Messiah. You are my master. You are my controller. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. You are my provider. You are everything to me. And I will not let the enemy overtake me and beat me, because you've said that I already win and have the victory. So right now, I'm going to praise you by faith and thank you that I've won already because of you, Jesus.